And welcome to the Feminem Podcast, the official podcast of Feminem, discussing all things femme, a little bit of EM, and everything in between. I'm Dara Cass, editor-in-chief of Feminem.
And I'm Jenny Beck Esme, the other editor-in-chief of Feminem.
So today we're actually on location at the Fiesta in beautiful San Antonio, Texas. This is actually our first podcast on the road. We have decided to take it to maybe a city near you. So we'll announce our tour coming up. We're actually at the Council of Residency Director Conference, the Academic Assembly in San Antonio. First, a little plug for this conference. I will say personally that for anybody listening to this podcast who actually is an emergency medicine doctor, this is probably the conference that had the most formative effect on me as a young educator and attending. I would come back every year from this conference feeling unbelievably inspired to do things, to teach, to create. And so I'm excited to be here actually in phase two or three of my career, to say the least. But I think that it's something that it's just a very exciting place to be. So Jenny, is this your first cord?
No, it's not my first cord. My first cord was 2 years ago in Nashville. You were my roommate. How could you have forgotten?
Oh,
as a PGY3 resident. So I got to come as a resident and then now as a junior faculty member. I think it's a fantastic conference, obviously, for all of the content in terms of getting you inspired and excited about bringing new educational techniques back to your own institution. But also, especially at least for me as a resident and then as a junior faculty member, it's a tremendous networking event, because really, you know, the big leaders of all of the medical education stuff that is happening around the country end up showing up at this conference all in one space. And so you can talk to everybody. You could literally never go to any of the sessions and just network the whole time.
And meanwhile, so we're sitting in a room actually recording this together, and we're passing a mic back and forth, which is a very strange thing for us. It's kind of like, you know, the pass the candle when you're in, you know, I guess nobody else was in a sorority, but still. So, but it's definitely like we're sitting in a circle and actually, like, you know, sharing our innermost thoughts. So it's fine. So actually, and I wanted to announce that today, actually, at this conference, CORD is actually a Fix Foundation Platinum sponsor. So they decided they wanted to support five. You can clap, Nikki. We have a live studio audience. They wanted to support five attendings and residents coming to the conference. So they have pre-purchased tickets, and they will announce that actually tomorrow at their business meeting, which is amazing since the conference is sold out. So Jenny, can you tell us who we have at the pod today?
I would love to. Sitting around our little microphone in our hotel room here today, we have 3.125 guests for the pod. We have Dr. Nikita Joshi, Dr. Adam Rosh, and Dr. Hillary Fairbrother. Dr. Joshi is an emergency medicine doctor at Stanford, and she's on the board of Academic Life in Emergency Medicine. She is a mom to two boys and currently one pump. Welcome to the pod, Dr. Joshi.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here.
We also have with us Dr. Adam Rosh. He is an emergency medicine physician and the founder of Rosh Review. Adam is the dad of two and is the most popular chauffeur in his entire neighborhood. Welcome, Adam.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
And then lastly, we have Dr. Hillary Fairbrother. She's the director of undergraduate medical education at UT Houston. She is also here with her new boss, her 5.5-month-old Vikram Charles Fairbrother Ayer. Welcome, Hillary.
Awesome to be here. Thanks so much.
Okay. So, Dara, why don't you tell us what we're going to talk about?
Yeah. So the idea for this pod actually came from a tweet. From one tweet that kind of led off a tweet storm, actually on April 19th. So I don't know how many people of you saw it, but it was a tweet to the Royal College of Emergency Physicians events Twitter handle, talking about the lack of support for new babies at their conference. And the response to that tweet from the official events Twitter handle was basically, so the original tweet said, so after being categorically told by the events I was not allowed to bring a baby, I basically decided to just do it and bust in. And the response was, our general advice is that our conferences are not suitable for children as we do not have the facilities to support them. And that response led off a maelstrom of comments from the international Twitter community, which was interesting because, you know, as Americans, we are used to being unsupported in childcare and in parental leave. But usually we look across the ocean and we feel like there's a better support system. And so for us, we were like, really? That's crazy, considering we're actually trying to be more progressive about childcare. And, you know, the thing about Twitter was that it gave a lot of chance for response. And actually, the president of the Royal College responded and said, you know, that he was looking at this as an option and he was trying to understand what options were out there. And so the cool thing was that a lot of people started suggesting ways that children could be supported at conferences and ways that parents could be supported early in their careers. And that's actually what I wanted to talk about today. So for those of you that can't see into our pod room, we actually have everyone here has kind of thought about the immersion of childcare conferences in different ways. And so I wanted to have a conversation about that, about the real execution of childcare conferences, what it means for academics, what it means for parents, what it means for community doctors, and what limitations there may be, and see if we can come up with other solutions that we may not have thought about, but really considerations that everybody would think about. The other thing for us, you know, on our side of the ocean is that, you know, last week our U.S. Senate actually changed its rules to support our first U.S. senator to have a baby while being a senator. Senator Tammy Duckworth had a baby now probably 17 days ago, and she needed to be on the Senate floor to vote. And that actually was against the rules to bring a new baby. And Hillary is standing to the left of me with her baby in a in like a carrier sleeping. And when nursing moms have to return to work for extraordinary circumstances, because we certainly aren't here to advocate for returning to work, you know, 10 days, 12 days, you know, right after you have a baby. But in extraordinary circumstances, for new parents, especially nursing mothers, bringing your baby to work may be necessary. And in that consideration, we want it to be supported. So I think that we're going to kind of open up this conversation first. So, Nikki, you're a mom of two young children. And you've been pretty vocal on social media about your travels with your children to conferences. You've posted pictures of your kids on airplanes. And again, if you go into Nikki's Twitter, at Nikki Joshi, right? At N Joshi 8, actually. Yes. See, I have like, I'm like Rain Man for Twitter. So I try. So you actually even posted to a thread this week about bringing your other baby, your pump, to the conference. So do you want to go through a little bit about your thoughts about this and where you are?
So at this point, I have three children. I have a 21-month-old son, a 7-month-old son, and my pump, who is honestly the hungriest of them all. And so over these 2 years of going back and forth to conferences, I've experimented quite a bit. My number one insight is that I'm not going to compromise. I love being a mother. I love being a doctor. And I truly believe that I can and will do both. And I will do them at the same time. And so going to these conferences is a critical part of my career. And so is being a mother. And especially at this point in my children's lives, especially my youngest, breastfeeding is very important to me. It's hard enough as it is to maintain it. And whatever I can do to ensure that I can continue as long as possible is important to me. Last year at CORD, I experimented and I brought my son and my husband with me to the conference. It was great. We had a fun time on the plane, at the hotel, but it was also challenging. My husband also works full time. And so to expect him to spend 4 days without any help with my 10-month-old was challenging. The conference was in Fort Lauderdale. It was very hot. We literally could not leave the hotel because the sun would have burnt my son alive. So we were sort of restricted. And when I had my second son, I tried something else. While I was nursing him, I had to go to two conferences, one in Oregon and the other one in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And I decided at that time, my mom was there at home and she could have helped, but I decided to bring him with me. So he was about 5 months old at the time. I put him in my ergo carrier and I packed my bags and we went off on the plane. Went to the hotel, I went to the conference. And a lot of people said how impressed they were. A lot of people asked me what was my plan. And to be honest, my plan was that my baby was coming with me and I would figure it out along the way. Turns out, asking people for help with the baby was not the problem. In fact, my hardest decision was who to actually deny the opportunity, a chance to hold my son. I had so many volunteers of people so eager to hold the baby during my talks that I was never worried about anything. Okay, sure. These were strangers or people who I had only met online, not in that kind of forum, but through Twitter and medical education. But I have to confess that I generally have a positive outlook for people, and especially the registration staff and the doctors who were organizing the conferences. I know them. I trust them. This is my community. It was not an issue. It was not difficult for me to find someone to hold my baby. It was not difficult to travel with him. And most importantly, I was able to continue the breastfeeding and give talks, which is important in my career. This most recent iteration of my experiments, I decided to leave him at home because he's a little more active, and I'm very active at CORD. So it wasn't just like a give a talk and leave. This is a big networking event for me for many days. So I decided to bring my pump instead. And I did send a tweet out on Facebook on one of the EM Dr. Moms groups asking for some advice. And it turns out I'm not the first one to have done this. I have many people who replied with many years of experience. And going through TSA, not an issue. Carrying ice packs, not an issue. So basically, even before I left, I had my routine down. I knew what I was going to do on the plane, through security, at the conference, at the hotel. And so far, 3 days in, things are going extremely well. And most important to me, my breastfeeding, I feel like will be able to continue when I go home. And I'm able to give the talks that I need to give and continue to network professionally. So being a doctor and a mom, I'm not compromising anything right now.
So I think that that's actually one of the things that is important, is you making a choice for yourself, right? So a lot of this is you made one choice when your baby was a certain age, and now you're making another choice when your baby's another age. And it's not to say that any choice is either more or less correct. It's just that that's your prerogative. So now I want to go to Hillary. And again, I wish we were now a video podcast or even just TV, because Hillary is literally rocking her baby while she's standing there. And Jenny will tweet it, of course. But you're here with CORD with your baby, right? And so you brought your baby and your nanny. CORD this year doesn't have formal childcare, but they are extraordinarily welcoming, I think. And I want to talk about that afterwards. But what were the logistical considerations for you as a new parent, also as an educator, also dedicated to your career, in coming to this conference with your baby?
Thanks, Dara. So this is day one of my first national meeting that I've been to since having Vikram, who is 5.5 months old. This is one of my most important meetings of the year, and I just can't imagine missing it. I am really, really lucky because I have an amazing nanny, and I'm also really, really lucky that I now live in Houston, and so I could drive to San Antonio. So the logistics of getting here with an extra human, with my child caregiver, who's not me, was a lot easier. I did not have to buy an extra plane ticket. I did not have to get all my stuff through security, et cetera. I just packed it in the car and we went. Logistically, I now need 2 hotel rooms, so that kind of sucks. In general, my nanny can't work 24/7 while we're here. So even though I have an entire second human to take care of the baby, I still had him at my 7 a.m. meeting this morning, and I had to feed him. And I'm going to be breastfeeding him throughout the meeting. And my nanny takes care of him throughout the day, but she needs breaks too. It really helps for the evening programming, I think, to have another human here so that you can go out and be at these networking events. So for me, this was the solution. I am still breastfeeding this little guy and plan to for as long as I can. So looking at least another couple meetings like this. So logistics are expensive, but doable. But in general, I think that the idea that when I walk into a meeting room with my child, I need to be supported at this point in my life, and I feel like CORD is a place that does that, is really important. Some of my meetings, like FIX, like my National American Medical Association meetings, have on-site childcare. Honestly, that is the best. To be able to have someone take care of my child in the hotel where my meeting is, or in the convention center where my meeting is so crucial to my success as a breastfeeding mom, or as a new mom, or, you know, hopefully as I do this again someday with a second one. I cannot say how important that is to my ability to remain active as a young mom, mid-career faculty. We talk about it all the time. These women, we have women faculty who are these shining stars, and then they peter out. They have families, and they never quite make it back. This is a primary reason. If I didn't have the support that I had, and the meetings didn't support it, and my colleagues did not support me, I would not be able to be here.
So I think it's interesting. There's two quick stories I want to tell, and I'm going to give it back to Jenny. So one is that Esther Chu, who is always here in spirit, if not in person, used to talk about how at one of the conferences after she had her fourth kid, because that's how she rolls, she brought her, and she was wearing her in a carrier also, and she had her mom with her. And she was talking about how this baby was her own Xanax. And in a lot of ways, these conferences can be really exhilarating and inspiring, and you're up. And, you know, your baby can calm you down. It can feel like it reminds you of kind of your core, your sense of balance. And for her, and I get it, that was just like a very cool thing to have at conference. I brought my kids twice to conference, once for fun because it was in Orlando and so my 8-year-old wanted to come. And then once when my son was sick before his transplant, I didn't want to be away from him for 4 days because I felt like I was the doctor and I was the mom, and I didn't feel comfortable leaving him. And so this wasn't a baby issue. It was more just I would not have been the same person if I was separate from him. And so I brought my nanny with me to Seattle, and she was so excited to come to Seattle for the first time. And it wasn't, you know, we didn't have childcare at that conference. It was a different conference than this one, but it was awesome. He came to dinner, he hung out. And more importantly, I had no logistical limitations. I wasn't breastfeeding to go to the conference, except I wouldn't have gone, right? I wouldn't have gone because it wasn't the right place for me at that moment. And so bringing him allowed me to be all the things I needed to be academically at the time. And, you know, that's true for parents of both genders, right? Because once you're not actually nursing, then the parental responsibility can become, although we know women have more childcare responsibility, it can be more gender neutral. And so one of the reasons why we want to have this conversation is to support fathers, non-birth mothers, adoptive parents, anybody that feels primary responsibility for a kid to feel empowered to bring that kid to the conference and have that be part. And that is what SMAC does, right? The male leaders of SMAC have been advocating for childcare for so long, and they are leading by example as well. And so this wouldn't be a complete talk without giving a shout out to them. Jenny, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree. Full stop. I want to bring Adam into the conversation here because what Hillary was saying was she made one comment about how it gets quite expensive to do things like bring a nanny with you to a conference. You need a second hotel room. You're paying for their time, their travel. So it can be limiting for families and parents when it comes to just the resources and the money. So Adam, you and your company, Rosh Review, as we mentioned before, are sponsoring our childcare room at Fix 18. Can you walk us through your thought process and why you thought that was a good use of your resources, your company's resources, to sponsor childcare for the feminine community?
Absolutely. So I had the good fortune to speak at and attend Fix 17. And turns out this was one of the most inspiring conferences that I've ever attended. And so the day I got home, I took a flight back to Detroit. And the next morning I woke up and I emailed Dara and I said, hey, Rosh Review wants to be one of the sponsors for Fix 18. It was a really proud moment for us. And Dara mentioned there was an opportunity to sponsor the childcare room. And so I jumped at this opportunity. One of the core values of Rosh Review is to build human connections. And we try and do this at every opportunity, whether it's walking a customer through the sign-up process to their subscription, or providing guidance to a student who failed their exam. So the idea of supporting a childcare room aligned perfectly with our core values. And we want mothers and fathers to feel comfortable and to be encouraged to bring their children to a conference, not necessarily because they have to because of the lack of childcare at home, but because they want to. So a mother or a father and their newborn, they don't have to be separated, or simply they have the opportunity to stay together as a family. And the important thing is that there is this option. And at Rosh Review, we are proud to provide the support to have this option at Fix 18.
You know, it's funny, as a conference organizer who kind of worked through the logistics of providing the childcare and actually doing the budget, right? Because it's not an inexpensive thing. And the childcare we're providing is actually separate. Our conference is in New York. And so everything is quadruply more expensive in New York in a lot of ways, you know? And so having a sponsor for the conference from the outset, it was literally the first. I mean, Adam was the first sponsor we secured for the entire conference, but knowing that the childcare was the first thing that we could do before we even knew what the conference looked like was actually liberating for me as a conference organizer and as a person that wanted to lead by example. And so I actually want to say thank you publicly to you, but oh, look, live studio audience is giving you a round of applause. But I think that it's like, because I do think that if you can secure those levels of partnership, and we say sponsorship because you're providing the funding, but it's not, it's more partnership. It's the idea that, you know, it's a mission-based thing, right? So one of the things we talked about before, actually really last night at dinner over a glass of wine, was how much good press you're getting for doing this, but that wasn't why you did it, right? You said yes to me over the phone a day after the conference, regardless of what it was going to come. And you didn't know that we were going to be dealing with a firestorm of tweets, you know, a week before a podcast. Morning, Vikram. And, you know, so the opportunity to celebrate that you are leading by example with your pocketbook, actually, or I guess it's a wallet. You know, do you wear a pocketbook?
That's an electronic bank account these days.
So I think it's really empowering to us as a community because there's a whole, the allies and champions of change. Like that's exactly what you are in this example. And so again, thank you. And by the way, for anybody who missed it, Adam's talk is available on our podcast or website. And it was extraordinary. And I encourage you guys all to listen to it. So Jenny, I have a question for you. How does this feel to you as the only non-customer of the childcare services right now to see all these kids at the conference? And, you know, also as a conference participant and as a conference customer who's paying the fee, knowing that if there isn't a sponsor, that some of the revenue generated by the conference or the would pay for childcare that you're not going to use. So how do you feel overall as a member of the community, woman on the street?
I love that, woman on the street. So as a member of the emergency medicine community, I think that it is important to keep young parents, male and female, active in our community. And I think the only way to do that is to provide proper resources for them during their childbearing years. And additionally, if you recall back on a podcast we did with Natalie May, which I encourage everybody to go listen to, we talked about gender parity in speakers at conferences. And she pointed us toward this great article called 10 Simple Rules to Achieve Conference Speaker Gender Balance by Jennifer Martin, which is literally 10 simple rules. And rule number 8 is that you have to support women at meetings, at conferences. You have to make it friendly for women and their children to be there. And then rule number 9 is be family friendly. So it's literally in 2 of the 10 rules that 20% of the rules are make it okay for women to bring their children to these conferences. So in order to have gender parity in the speaker lineup, we have to make this happen. And in order to have gender parity in our specialty, we need to have gender parity in our speaker lineup, because we know that representation matters, that women need to see themselves doing these things, and we don't want to have them dropping out of the workforce. So I think that even as a non-parent, I am perfectly happy for my conference fees to go to this. And then as a selfish human being, I love having children and babies around. I mean, Nikki, I wouldn't have let anybody else hold your child if I had been at that conference. I would have denied them all, and I would have just had the kid with me. So, I mean, you know, yeah, of course they were fighting. And children are fun and they make people happy to be around. So why wouldn't we want them there? I mean, I'm going to spend time hanging out in our childcare room at Fix just because why not?
Well, and it's going to be awesome.
It's going to be awesome. I mean, there's going to be games and things. Like, it'll be great. So yeah, woman on the street says yes to childcare.
Yes to the therapeutic affiliation of hanging out with other people's babies. I like that. So, I mean, you know, I want to know, I mean, now that we've had this conversation, Nikki, do you have any other thoughts on this, on the process, on the execution? I mean, we can't expect every conference to provide childcare right now. I don't think Rome wasn't built in a day, and it certainly isn't free. And so we don't expect everyone to have the resources to do this or even the commitment to do it overtly. But I think the first thing that everyone can do is be supportive, right? So is to accept the fact that if a parent comes with a new baby or there's a baby in the background and the mom is rocking and doing the best she can to keep that baby quiet. Like, we're a team. I mean, and I think Jenny can even speak to after this about the idea of a woman at 17 bringing her baby on stage. You know, I mean, again, not in the cards. We didn't plan it that way. But
no, I mean, if you weren't there, I just need to describe this for you. This woman, that the child was maybe two or three years old. And she was not going to let her mom go on the stage and give her talk. She just wasn't. She was going to have a complete meltdown. And this was with a nanny was there, but the nanny wasn't going to be able to fix this problem. So literally baby on hip, she's giving her talk, going through her slides. At one point doing it, she gets her phone out and like put something on for the kid to watch, like while she's holding... Yeah, I mean, it was like, I couldn't believe the multitasking that was happening. And the talk was fierce. So, like, it can be done, obviously.
But the reason I bring that up, and I think that's what I want to get Nikki from is, you know, it was because the room gave her permission, right? The room supported her. There was an energy in the room about, we're with you, and we're not alienating you, and we're not ostracizing you, and we want you to know that at the end of the day, you're going to be fine. And I believe that anyone can do that. Nick, what do you think?
Entirely agree. I think, though, we really have to give our specialty credit. Emergency medicine is a warm and welcoming specialty. The fact that you walk into a room with a baby, and now more and more of the men and the women are all out there and supportive and encouraging. And it's one thing to be a confident person and to just kind of stride out there and ask for permission later, which is sort of my MO. But it's another thing to actually know that people will reach out and embrace you. And I feel confident, and it really speaks to the people that we work with.
Hillary, do you have anything else that you want to add to this whole conversation as you rock your baby and he is losing patience at this podcast and he's telling us that it's almost time to be done?
Yeah, Vikram is saying you've talked enough. I just think that this is, it's hard to think about young parents having it all, young parents who want it all, who want to remain super active and leaders in academia, leaders in their field. And this is a constructive and explicit thing, you think so, that we can do together to support young parents. So I admire anyone who can fit it into the budget. And if they can't, again, just a little bit of accommodation, a little bit of smiles when my child is fussing and I'm walking the halls goes a long way.
Okay, Adam, you're sitting here in this room full of feminems discussing breastfeeding, carrying babies. What do you think here?
I think it's important for the men out there to recognize the limitations, obstructions, and think about opportunities and ways that we could use our position to assist and clear the path for opportunities like this. As I mentioned earlier, this is one of our proudest moments to be a sponsor at Fix 18 and to be able to sponsor the childcare room. So I'm thrilled for it and looking forward to this October.
So we are too. And I think that that's actually the perfect last thought for our podcast for this. Jenny, do you have any announcements?
Just want to remind everybody that the next Fix 17 podcast is going to be from Mies Spangler, and it's about quitting her job to make her career better, and it's fantastic, so take a listen.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. All right, so with that, we're going to say thank you to our guests, everybody. We're going to put the mic in the middle, and everyone's just going to say...
Bye-bye!
See you later.
Love you guys. Thank you so much, and we will talk to you next week. Have a good time. Bye.